For our offences are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offences are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak, according to what they have done. So he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob, and repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Wow, isn't this fantastic? So I'm Mike. I've been a member of this congregation for some time, still deciding whether I'm going to keep rotating. I only agreed to do this if they did build a rotating platform. Come on, Jim. No, I mean, seriously, well done to everyone who's got this place ready. Absolutely fantastic. Apologies, yeah. I will stop rotating in a minute, so apologies those of you who get me looking at you. If I get too dizzy, though, you know we're going to have another baptism, so... Anyhow, better make a start. So it's late November. It's getting close to that time of year when we start hearing about... Oh, my goodness, I can see myself as well. It's getting close to that time of year when we start hearing about those reviews of the year. So 2016, much happened this year? Well, I'm sure for some it's been a year of real laughter and joy. But definitely for others... this has been a year of real change, upheaval, sadness, fear. I was chatting a really good friend of mine the other day, and he's normally a very positive person, but I'd never heard him talk the way he was. He was incredibly fearful for the future, anxious, despondent, sad. So where would you start when you're reviewing your year of 2016? Because I know where I will start. And I'll start here today, All Saints, seeing 12 people come forward demonstrating their willingness to proclaim to all of us that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Some of you may remember a few weeks ago when Andy spoke to us, and Jenny's already mentioned it this morning. He described how some of us were going to be all in. Well, these 12 today have said that they are publicly and privately all in with God, ready to be used by him to continue to build his kingdom. And for me, that is just a fantastic sign of hope in a time of challenge and worry. So thank you so much to each one of you this morning. Because being all in, even when everything around can seem to want to drag us down, to lose hope, being all in, that's the message of Jesus, and it's the message that we've been seeing in the book of Isaiah. Now, today I did have a full exposition prepared, which was going to take us meticulously through the whole of chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse by verse. I was looking at the original Hebrew of every word. I had some extraordinary insights to share, some hugely entertaining anecdotes. It was going to blow your mind. But apparently some of you have to leave before the sun sets. Some of you have people to see, lunches to eat, blah, blah, blah. So I've had to compress it into quite a short message. Lose my hilarious stories. Your loss. However, I will try my best to pick out the best bits of Isaiah. And we're in our fifth week of Isaiah. I've been following each one of these sermons very closely, and I found them incredibly uplifting and exciting. I mean, for one thing, Isaiah was around 740 years before Jesus Christ. And Jesus was around 2,000 years ago. So that means Isaiah was around, you know, do the maths, a long time ago. And how extraordinary that the words he spoke then can be so cutting edge today. Because, you know, I think our times don't feel that different from the times Isaiah was speaking into. You know, the fear that I was talking about my friend expressing? I don't know how different it was from the fear that Isaiah confronts. And this morning, yes, we've got a tough passage. It's a tough bit of Isaiah. However, it's a message that has been beautifully illustrated by the baptisms that we've seen earlier on. So if you do have the time at some point to have a read of the whole of Isaiah 59, I'd encourage you to do it. But beware, it's quite unflinching. But what's going on in it? Well, Isaiah, as we know, has been speaking in a time of huge political upheaval. We've got a nation divided, which had been living in exile and then returned to its homeland, but facing threats from several different empires and suffering from weak leadership. And the message that Isaiah gives to the people who face this challenging situation? Well, two immediate points I would make. Firstly, that there's separation between God's people and God. Separation between God's people and God. And second, the cause of that separation is people's wrongdoing. Or, since we're in church, sin. So, firstly, we see a separation. And you can read that particularly in the first few verses if you have a look at chapter 59, where he says, we've become separated from God, even hidden from God. You know, God created us to live in connection with him. Again, we heard Andy a few weeks ago speak about how we're created in the image of God. And that same word for image means idol. We're like idols to God. We're not designed to be separated. You sometimes hear people say that everyone has a God-shaped hole inside them. But I must admit, I squirm a bit when I hear that. Partly because I worry that I've probably filled that hole with food and drink. But more because it isn't meant to be a small part of us which is meant to be devoted to God. It's our whole being that's meant to live with him. That's what we were designed for, our whole being. So why are God's people separated? Well, again, Isaiah makes that clear. In verses 3 and 4, he says, our lips speaking falsely, our tongues muttering wicked things. And in verses 6 and 7, acts of violence. It's the words people speak and the actions of people. Hannah spoke to us last week of authentic spirituality, where our outer actions match our inner thoughts, our inner beliefs. Being people of words and deeds. And these people, they were not living it out. Isaiah says, their hands are stained with blood, their fingers with guilt. This is probably not a traditional baptism passage, I'll be honest. But you know what? I'm sure that when Isaiah first prophesied this message, it probably didn't go down that well. But he knew he had to proclaim God's word. So we need to do him justice. And I think the key thing to pick out, as I've said, it's important to understand that the condition that Isaiah describes is a separation caused by the way people are living their lives, caused by the choices that they make. And do you know what? I think he could be talking to some of us this morning, all of us. He could be pointing out our condition, that our own choices, our sin, has created that separation, that we ourselves are not living in that close connection with God. We can easily fall into that trap when we hear these sorts of messages and imagine, oh yeah, I know who's talking about, that chap at work. Oh yeah, I know it is, that guy over there. Oh yeah, they're terribly, terribly disconnected from God. But no, it could be someone who week in, week out comes to church, but knows deep down they've allowed that separation to form. So what happens next in this passage? Well, we see people cry out to God as a result of the separation. People cry out. And the response to this separation in verses 9 to 15 of chapter 59, it's what we call a lament. It's a cry of despair. And I'm sure many of us could probably recognize the sentiments, the feelings expressed in this lament at certain points in our lives. I'll quote a few. We look for light, but only find darkness. We're like someone who's blind, groping along the wall. We look for justice and find none. We growl like bears and moan like doves. I think it's being a bit harsh on doves there. I don't know about you. I haven't seen that many moaning. So if we update that, we could say we moan like someone on Twitter. Now, I do have a Twitter account, but don't bother following me. I've never, ever tweeted in my life. But I do enjoy the way that Twitter does point me to some amazing resources and information. But I don't know if you saw this week, Oxford Dictionaries said that their word of the year is post-truth, because apparently we've now become less reliant on facts and instead reliant on sentiment, emotion, and social media. I must admit, much of the stuff I read on Twitter cannot be relied on. I mean, it loves apportioning blame, but it also loves to exaggerate. But this lament in Isaiah is so much more than a social media rant. A lament is a cry from the heart. It's a genuine expression of what's going on inside our inner soul. And their situation, remember, was fairly desperate. They'd been defeated, exiled, returned but humiliated. They saw enemies gathering. They saw no leadership. They saw no authenticity amongst their own kind. They looked for light, but they found only darkness. They were trying again to please God with their lives. But trying doesn't seem to be enough. I don't know if you've attempted a lament lately. Have you expressed what goes on deep inside? Well, it's great to see Darius here this morning, and Darius helped set up the men's support group, and I'm now helping to coordinate that group. And it's an extraordinary place. It's where a group of men from our church are coming together and taking off their masks, letting other people see the real stuff that's going on in our lives. I'm telling you, it's tough at times, because our thought life, our actions when no one's looking, our pride, our inner motives, our guilt, they can often be very dark, and it's very much like a lament when we share this. However, when we bring this out into the open in a genuine confession to others, well, we've found that this is actually our first step towards recovery. We're living out verse 12 of this chapter by acknowledging our own failings. For me, this group has been so life-changing. It's enabled me, through God's strength and the group's encouragement, to defeat patterns and addictions that were harming me for years, tucked away so no one could see. But this group has helped enable me to break free. And if any of you want to be part of this and are a man, then do just speak to me or speak to a member of the church team. But if you don't qualify, and I realise that is a fair number of you, or you don't feel that's the right forum for you, then we do have a pastoral care team. But please remember, church is about supporting each other, even with that stuff that we feel no one else should know about. And what we've learned as a group is that trying is not enough. But when we cry out in confession and honesty, God hears us. And it's true too in this passage in Isaiah. So maybe that is the message for you today, that you need to speak to God, to confess to God, to be honest to God. And maybe that's something you haven't done for a long time. But as I say, what we've learned is that God hears his people's cries. He hears his people's cries. The light starts to break through the darkness. God hears and he sees the situation. And we see in these verses in 16 to 18 his response. Because he's got a plan of salvation, a plan of rescue. He doesn't let that separation go on. Remember, he does this even though he knows all about us. He knows our darkest thoughts and deeds. Yet he still wants us to be restored with him. And what's really exciting is that his plan doesn't just reach each individual, but it reaches the whole world. Verse 19, from the east where the sun rises to the west where it sets, people will be restored to the way it was always meant to be. Throughout his prophecy, Isaiah speaks of rescue that's coming, and it's coming in the form of a human who'll suffer but will overcome everything thrown at him. And remember, that was 740 years before Jesus even came. In verse 16, he talks of God wearing the helmet of salvation. And amongst the news stories this year, we continue to be horrified by what's going on in Syria, and particularly in Aleppo. And as the bombings carry on week by week, you've probably heard of the White Helmets, a group of volunteers who, as soon as a bomb lands, they rush to the site to see whether they can rescue anyone. The helmet signifying rescue. Yet at least 141 White Helmets have lost their lives in the ongoing violence. We too encounter violence in the one who comes to rescue us, the one that Isaiah prophesies about. Violence in the form of a cross where he was nailed and killed. Yet that wasn't enough, because we know that death was defeated. We live in a world where many, such as those in Syria or Yemen or Peckham or Camberwell, face uncertainty, even about the day ahead. When many face fear, rejection, we live in a world so far disconnected in many ways from God. Many cry out for rescue, but God hears. He hears and he acts. The cross where Jesus died was God's ultimate salvation for you and me, but also for our world. It holds a new hope, a new kingdom, which we see in the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, will one day reach its fullness. Instead of guilt, fear, and rejection, we'll live in love and peace. Isaiah himself in chapter 11 talks of the wolf living with the lamb, the leopard lying down with the goat, a picture of nations and peoples living in harmony and peace with each other. This is the kingdom of God. And we today can be God's agents, followers of Jesus, part of building that kingdom right here, right now. And just like baptism symbolizes today, that requires new birth, allowing God to wash us clean from our old self, where we've made so many wrong choices, and instead returning to God. Jesus on the third day overcame death, and he says, come, turn your backs on your old ways, on your old sinful ways, leave that behind, and instead follow me. Last night was our launch party. We've decided as a church to be all in, to make this a place for good, however costly that may be. But it's also up to each one of us as individuals to consider whether we need to leave behind some bad choices, some habits that are just dragging us down, some masks we put up, some attitudes which are crippling us, and lives that we're living unfulfilled. And this chapter does finish with some real encouragements, because it finishes with a couple of promises that we can hold on to. In verse 20, God will make right those who repent of their sin, or those who turn back on their wrongdoings. And in verse 21, my promise is that my spirit will never depart from you, and my words I put in your mouth will always be on your lips, and all your family members and descendants forever. We'll not be left on our own for this. God will always be with us. So, do we need to cry out with the reality of what's on our hearts? Or do we need to come to God, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, accept his love, his forgiveness, and just like the 12 wonderful examples we've seen today, simply say, yes, I'm all in. Would the band like to just come back up now? And whilst they do, I just encourage you all to just close your eyes and just reflect on that challenge for each one of us. And we'll just pause for a moment. There's been so much going on this morning. Let's just take a moment to just let it sink in. Lord, we want to just thank you for the powerful message of hope we've seen lived out this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that you had a plan of rescue for us all along. We want to thank you, Lord, that when we cry out, that you hear and you act. And Lord, give us the confidence and the boldness to step forward and to say, I follow you.